Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we need a lot of help. The Eagles need some help. We need help. That's why we brought in Jason Avant. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas Show. Julie, the Lunch Hour with Jason Avant. All right, Eagles offense needs some help. And we're looking for answers, trying to fix this thing down the stretch of the season. All right, before we go back to the phones, talk about the Charger game Monday, I want to play something for you here, Jason. Last week we talked about, and you mentioned it today, like maybe a spotter, someone tracking things up in the booth to kind of help, Petullo. Nick Foles, your former teammate, had a thought on maybe a different move for Kevin Petullo that could help him out as he calls the plays. Here's Nick.
What I'm looking at is, all right, Kevin Petullo, I was looking at his history, and this is, you know, there might be some minor changes, but from what I picked up was being a passing game coordinator, his role was to be in the box, to be in the booth, to oversee what is happening on the field from a up above perspective, not being on the sidelines with the players and feeling the emotion from the sidelines. He was in a controlled environment to see coverages, to see plays, to make recommendations in the passing game in his career in Philadelphia up to this year. When he was hired from within to be the offensive coordinator, he then, and I agree with his standpoint and what he said. He said, I want to be on the sideline where I can speak to Jalen Hurts and speak to the offense and they can see me face to face and have that interpersonal communication. I love that. I love that before the season. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think that's what the players were used to. And it's always nice having your coach on the sideline to talk. But at this point, something needs to happen, and I don't think Kevin needs to be fired. So I think the answer right now is little micro changes to make guys more comfortable in their position. So I think Kevin Petullo's first thing needs to get out of the sideline, get away from what's going on, the emotions, because that could be clouding your vision with play calling. You have a different perspective from the sideline. You can't see the coverages as they're forming. You can't see the defensive alignments very well. You can see it on the tablet afterwards and sort of make predictions. But when you're up in the box, you can see it as the drive is going on, what they're trying to do. And you can see the concepts forming more clearly. And that is what you have been trained in since 2021, to sit in the box.
All right, Jason, before you give your thought on what Nick's saying there.
Slow down.
Kevin Petullo, doing his press conference today, was presented with this idea, the one that we're listening to from Nick Foles, and he said he hasn't been in the booth since 2011. He values the communication on the field. What was your perspective on coordinators, where they've been for you in the past, the play caller, and your thought on what Nick's saying there, that maybe he'd see it better up top?
Well, I'm always a proponent of younger coaches being in the booth. What Nick is saying, you know, makes sense. The reason is because when you are younger, like Nick said, you're able to see the defensive front, you're able to see the blitzes, you're able to know right away, okay, they did this in cover three, there's no guessing. You're only able to see half the field from the sideline. So you're making an educated guess, which you're going to be right 85% of the time, right? But there's going to be things on the other side of the field that you don't see. And usually skilled and people that have been in a position for years who started in the booth have come down to the sideline because they're able to recognize and still see everything from that position because of all the experience. When you don't have the experience, you may want to go to the booth so you can see the game better. I think that's just a great spot for a younger coach. That's me.
So the other side, and this is what Petullo is referencing, is the communication factor. He could talk to Jalen. He could talk to his receivers. Watching some of the Hard Knocks yesterday, I did see the one scene when AJ caught the touchdown against the Bears, and Petula went up and kind of hugged him and said, I told you, and which I thought meant, we're going to get you the ball, I told you. Which, that was a good scene, but I also wonder, down there, is there a lot going on? Like, he's thinking about talking to Jalen, is he thinking about AJ's emotions or whatever? Like, to me, up top is a little clearer head. Do you think there's good value of being on the sideline? Like, he's referencing he likes being on the sideline to communicate. How much value is in that?
There's some value in that, right? Especially if you're a calm and cool guy and there is chaos. And if you can, and if you say you're in a situation where you have a volatile head coach, right? And you are a very, you know, positive person, that can lend, you know, can go a long way because you're kind of calming the emotions, you're letting a player know. But remember, he has a position coach.
Right.
And a position coach is usually the person that's going to be the person that's going to calm his emotions and let them know the situations in the game, what happened there. So, yeah, I understand his perspective. Do I necessarily think that it's needed on this team? Maybe not, because Nick Sirianni is a guy that's going to be ultra positive at all times.
Hugh, what do you think about all this? Petullo, could it help if he goes up top?
Can I say this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Remember the part I said earlier in the show that they need
a spotter.
The spotter, yeah. Someone that's looking at the routes. What did A.J. Brown catch for his first touchdown? He caught basically a 5-yard out and up, something right. that they run, right? Something that's similar to a stop and go. That's basically what they did. They ran a double move, and okay, they're ripe for it because they're sitting on our routes. That's the type of thing that they need. And it's not just an and go. It can be an and out or and in. They can just add in that, and it'll help change the offense too. But go ahead, Hugh.
No, Jim Johnson, for us, was on the sideline. And I was a proponent of being on the sideline. But when you said what you said about being a younger offensive coordinator, that made a lot of sense to me because Jim been in the game a long time.
Jim going to see it no matter what.
Yeah, he going to see it.
He sees where the three technique is. He know the whole defense.
Yeah, and it's like Jim used to want to be hands-on because Jim liked to curse.
Well, I'm sure he was cursing at you when you were screwing things up, if I know you well enough.
I love Jim, man.
Jim was a good coordinator because he adapted his defense to the talent all the time. He adapted it to the guys that he had on the field, and he always tried to play to your strengths.
Yeah. Freaking Jerry, yeah. This is what he called me, Jerry. Jerry, this is our drill. You can't catch. Let the defensive back ball. Don't catch it.
Every time Hugh tells a story, he's telling me he's got yelled at by someone, whether it be Jim.
Oh, it was Jim or Tommy. It was either Jim or Tommy. And they would yell. You know how loud the link is, right?
Yeah, of course.
I could hear Tommy yelling at me. Like the whole place going bananas. Damn it, Douglas! What are the F you doing? What are you doing? Huh? And I used to be like, huh? He's the pissing ball when I was like, huh?
Kind of sounds like Kyle in our meeting, just a little less impactful when Kyle does it. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Today's show in this hour, sponsored by McGurk's Pub. If you're looking for a spot to watch the game, make it McGurk's. We've been to all the McGurk's locations. They have awesome food and the perfect game day atmosphere. Let's go to Mario in Northeast Philly, who I think we're seeing tonight at the Flyers game. What's up, Mario?
What's up, fellas? What's the deal?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. Hey, I don't think Sirianni should. I think his job's safe.
Okay.
I honestly think Hurts is the problem, man. One thing I've been noticing, nobody's really coming to his bat with everything that's going on stuff with BG. And that speaks volumes to me. I think the coaches are good too, but I just think that Jalen will get benched next year if we do go in the drought. And like you said, I think he will get changes will be made by the quarterback, like Avon said. I do think that. But I like Sirianni, man. It's a rough little thing right now, but they gonna get it together, man. I hope so, but. I think Jalen's the problem, man. And looking forward to seeing y'all tonight.
Mario, excited to see you tonight. Flyers game tonight with our listeners. Mario, good phone call. So he said he thinks they're going to get it together. Jason, if you had to forecast the rest of the season, how do you think this plays out? I mean, we're at a crossroads now, right? They have lost two in a row, which they did in October. And then they did bounce back and win four in a row after the two-game losing streak. So we could point to that as good vibes. Five games left, and suddenly – they really got to wake up because Dallas is playing good football. Dallas' schedule, they play in Detroit on Thursday. Challenging game. But after that, they've got some winnable games down the stretch. Dallas is probably going to win a lot of these games coming up. So we need wins. Do you think this is going to get turned around?
I think this is one of those.
told me everything.
No, because he thought I was going to speak it. I'm like,
I can't get over the pause.
At this stage, the Eagles are like a one and done playoff team.
I agree with you. That's what they look like right now.
That's the truth. Unless they can get the run game going, and they can hit more play action plays, and they can figure out how to take advantage of matchups. But here's the thing. We got to do something for eight people in a box. No one's afraid of the back end anymore, like our receivers in the back end. We got to be able to figure out what to do for eight people in a box, and then the coverages off of it. Teams are figuring out, okay, if we press outside and play zone in that press, it's going to throw Jalen for a loop when it comes to over the middle of the field. And so now he's subject to their limited passing options outside, not with the receivers, but their route tree.
Sure.
And so we know what those are. And so I think teams have taken what Todd Bowles have done to the Eagles and have just constantly replicated that over the weeks that we've seen. It's basically the game plan for Todd Bowles. Let's keep as many people toward the line of scrimmage as we can. Let's mix up the coverages on the back end and confuse him with the way those looks. Okay, it's cover three, but I'm pressing it. Oh, it's cover two, but I'm making it look like man, and it's getting kind of confusing. So that's what I think is happening, and the only way you can solve that is you hit more explosives, but that's going to happen with the run game.
Sure. So let's go to the run game for a second. Saquon was a little bit better in this past game. Like, they had more production in the run game, but they didn't run it as much, right? They have 13 rushes on Friday against Chicago. It feels like when they get into it, they're down.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In a game like they were this past game, and they have to throw more late to come back, it just feels like they haven't had a game where he's been pretty good or good, and they've also run it 20 times. It just feels like we haven't had many of those games.
He was actually good this game. Yeah. It's just that we couldn't sustain offense enough and keep, you know, the Bears off the field. We had 17 plays of offensive or just plays on offense in the first half against the Bears. And they were actually moving the ball when it came to running it. And Saquon had a good average for the game. It's just that when you get behind, you can't do it. So,
all right, quickly on that, only 17 plays. Sirianni's had kind of an interesting year when it comes to, I think, being too conservative around the two-minute warning. They had a moment, I think it was Friday's game. Yeah, it was, where they snapped the ball or the play ended with like 2:37 left in the first half. They let it run down, like, and they just took it to the two-minute warning. Do you think they should try to move with some tempo more? Especially, I just feel like they're trying to bleed clock all the time, but they're not up in these games. They're not winning. It's weird.
They're looking at it from the defensive perspective, right? When you're going up against potent offenses, you like the Cowboys and like the Bears and like the Lions, you're looking at it like, if we don't convert on third down, they get an opportunity with a minute and 20 left to go get points. And guess what? Based on the stats, he's right, because the Eagles go three and out and are bad on third down, that the chances that they don't convert is higher, and then these teams that are explosive are going to get points.
So he's playing to what he has.
He's actually looking at the stats and saying this is the more likely that this will happen in the opposite way.
Yeah, I get that because the offense has stunk all year. Let's go to Jack in Redding. What's up, Jack?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good, Jack. What's up?
Hey, I just want to talk about the recent Hard Knocks episode we all watched last night with Jalen Hurts and taking accountability.
Okay, what do you think? What'd you think about it?
I think it's a front. I think he's faking.
Faking, like, that it was his fault? Faking the conversation? Like, what do you mean by faking?
I think he knew the camera crew was on him. Because, listen, guys, Devontae Smith had to go up to him. He didn't go up to Devontae Smith first to take accountability. We all saw that, right?
I didn't read it that way.
No, I saw what you're saying, but go ahead.
Yeah, I know it.
The bottom line is, why hasn't there been media clips of him taking accountability all year until the Hard Knocks crew started videoing him?
Well, so you got to understand
it's scripted. There's a narrative there. Not my fault to cut you off, Jason, I feel like I hear what you're saying. I'm not saying you're wrong, Jack, but I feel that there's a narrative there because on the flip side, They featured Dak a lot. Jaden Daniels kind of featured, but the two quarterbacks that were prominent in this were Jalen and Dak.
Yeah, they're the stories in the division.
So I hear what you're saying. Not saying you're wrong, but I don't think you can make that assessment in one episode.
Well, here's my thing that will kind of disprove what you say, because Jalen is one of the most accountable quarterbacks in the league. If you ever just watch after the game and listen to his press conference, Jalen is the first one to fall on the sword for his team and also admit when he makes mistakes. But there's a difference between admitting you made a mistake and then continuing to make the mistake. Eventually it gets old, and I think that's more of the issue than anything. It's saying, you know what, I am going to get better from this, but the progress is not happening
fast. It's one thing to say my bad, it's another thing to do it again the next time.
It's my bad, you know, over and over again. Then people think that not that you're, you know, disingenuous, but it's more of a, can he do it or not? Can he, you know, get over his shortcomings?
No, guys, I get what you're saying completely, but here's my side of it. Why haven't there been, you know, there's a lot of social media managers for the Eagles and whatnot, the NFL. Why hasn't there been clips of him taking accountability up until the point where he knows there's a camera on him at all times with Hard Knocks?
That's what I'm telling you. He does all the time. That's not a
– And it's a small – and be fair, man, it's a small – like, this is one episode.
Also, if we're thinking about this from the Eagles' perspective, like, social media teams are going to put their players in a good light.
In the best light
right,
possible.
So they're going to put a highlight of his touchdown throw, not the highlight of the conversation
of
after he misses.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so, Jack, I get it. We don't see that as much. And I'm excited. And Jack, good phone call. I'm excited to see the rest of the series, just see where it goes. But, I mean, who's putting those clips out, right? Like, why would the Eagles put a clip of Jalen going up to Devontae and saying, I screwed up again? Like, that doesn't make him look good. It makes him look good in terms of accountability, but not like he's playing well. I'm not surprised we haven't seen much of that before last night.
Well, see, and this is where I said this morning, and that's why I said he saw what he saw. I'm gonna say that. I don't know if it's true. I don't believe it's true, but
his perception, the caller, you mean?
Yes.
Like, yeah, okay.
Yes, he saw what he saw, and you have to understand that they're building a narrative. Like, that's where we have to be fair to all parties involved. Because the first thing that jumped out to me, you watch it last night? Is how they painted Dak as a leader. Like, I'm not saying that Dak's not a leader. I've never been around Dak. But he was personable with his players. He was interactive.
Mm-hmm.
It was a side of Dak that I never get a chance to see. And you know, being, you know, that A-list actor that I am, I've been in situations where I know. No, but seriously, all jokes aside, I know that there's a narrative that they're trying to portray.
Mm-hmm.
So you take everything with a grain of salt. And they're still developing these storylines.
Yeah, and I agree with that. When it comes to the Jalen thing, is that just the process of him coming off the field is never to go right to the receiver. The process of coming off the field as an offensive player is to go directly to your position coach. In that case, it would be Scott Leffler, and then it'll be Kevin Petullo. They're going to go and talk with the quarterback about everything that happened on that series. And then after that meeting is done and you've gone to your receivers coach and talked to him, then the players come together. And Devontae kind of probably came over a little bit before that happened. But to say that Jalen didn't go to him is kind of wrong, because you don't know the process of what's going on.
Yeah, also, it's not a camera that's on the whole time. They're just showing. Yeah. I mean, they're splicing things together to make a TV show. All right, Jason, let's look forward to Monday night. It's a big one for the Eagles. Big one for the Chargers, too. So,
yeah.
We do not know yet about Justin Herbert. He has a hand issue. He had surgery.
It happened in the first quarter of the last game, and he came back in.
Recklessly speculated.
And the line on the game is sat around Eagles -3, which tells me he's going to probably play in the game. But yeah. We'll see. How good are the Chargers? And your thought on Jim Harbaugh as a coach? I mean, obviously, you know this coach very well. Jim Harbaugh, how good or great of a coach? And what do you think the job he's doing with the Chargers?
I think he's doing good, you know, especially under the circumstances. They're down two of their best players on their entire team.
I mean, those Rashawn tackles Slater, are great players.
Yeah, well, Rashawn Slater is out, ruptured patella. Joe Alt's out, great. And so they're giving up more sacks than normal. They've had to bench, you know, Mekhi Becton against the Jags. They've had to do a bunch of things. Guys are pushing the pocket. So they're, like, great on third downs despite this, right? Despite not having protection, they're number two in the league, completing almost 49% of their third downs, wow. Right? So they're good at that. They're just okay at running the football. They depend on their guys on the outside in order to get a lot of this heavy lifting done. And they have elite players when it comes to separation. Ladd McConkey gets open as well as anybody in this league. Keenan Allen has some of the best routes in the history of the NFL, and it's open. Normally, and Quentin Johnston is coming into his own, having a breakout year for himself. He puts a lot of balls on the ground, but no one can handle him running full speed. Mm. So they have a lot of weapons that we need to worry about. Defensively, they do give up a lot of rushing yards. I talked about it earlier in the show with the Jaguars, how they were able to basically run the ball down their throat.
It was a blowout.
Yeah,
that game.
It ended up being a blowout, and it wasn't many explosive passing plays. It was all big runs. So they give up a lot of yards when it comes to running the ball. So we have to, but they're great in pass defense. And they don't have the best personnel, but they get after the passer with Khalil Mack and Tyre, you know, Tart and those guys, Bud Dupree's a backup for them, Tui Pelotu, all those guys get after it up front. Derwin James is a manimal, one of the best safeties in the game. So, and then they have a guy that I'm worried about in Dante Jackson, a guy from the Steelers and the Panthers, who's been responsible for two interceptions over the last game, and they are on plays that we run all the time. Mm. So that's kind of nerve-wracking. So he'll be on A.J. Brown a bunch. He's intercepted a comeback route, which is a stop route for us. He's intercepted a back shoulder fade. Well, he didn't intercept it, but he tipped the ball and the safety intercepted it, right? So the Chargers are a good football team. The offensive line is injured, severely injured. And we have to take advantage of that, and we have to be able to run the ball.
So it feels like our run game and our defensive line have to go win this game. That's the way you're describing it.
Our run game, our defensive line should, because if we are depending totally on the secondary to just cover every time, they're going to be able to find a matchup. And it's not necessarily going to be a Quinion game where he's just isolated. No, they're not going to get you isolated one-on-ones. They move a lot behind the line of scrimmage. They cross routes. They bring in multiple personnel. So they're going to have plays where there's one receiver in the game, two tight ends, and a fullback. Like, it's going to be stuff like that. That's what Jim Harbaugh is, right? So he's going to mix up the personnels and those types of things. He's a good football coach, and they're a tough team, especially defensively. Jesse Minder is doing a great job. They're a tough football team.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at the way you describe, I didn't realize their pass defense was that good, because I look at the names. I'm like, Derwin James obviously is a great player, but like, they don't have standout names, like first round pick corners or anything like that, but they stop the pass.
They stop the pass. And the way that they do it, the way that they stop that, they're like us in that we're a cover four base, right? And they bring and they mix it. They mix it up on third downs. You get their exotic blitzes. Then you get zone coverages behind it. You get man sometimes. So you don't know what you're going to get on those downs. A lot of times the statistician upstairs can say, hey, you know what? On third downs, you know, they play man 67% of the time, or it's going to be cover three this amount of time. With the Chargers, you don't know which one you're going to get. So it's confusing to the quarterback.
Hugh tells me we're getting a low scoring game potentially on Monday.
Man, I take it.
Bite our nails.
As long as it's a dub.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I care.
Oh, they move the ball really well between the 20s. Don't convert touchdowns.
So the red zone. The red zone is our spot.
Red zone defense is great. So they move the ball between the 20s very well. Red zone, they're, you know, not bottom of the league, but at the 21, 22 range.
Yeah, that's why, I mean, this feels to me like a low scoring close game. Jason, we appreciate coming in as always. Thank you.
No, thank you guys for having me.
We always have fun. All right, Jason Avant will be back with us next week. The Lunch Hour with Jason Avant was brought to you by Walnut Street Smiles and Chestnut Dental Group. Studio, part of the Dudatta Dental Group, official dentist of the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, you know what time it is for next, right?
What we got?
You have your notebook or your iPad ready?
Yes.
Quarterback power rankings, Hugh Douglas. Oh, get ready. The people are going to love this. 215-592-9494. How far down the list till we get to Jalen's name this week? QB power rankings next. Midday show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is the number one sports book for same game parlays. From points to rebounds to threes and assists, FanDuel is the best place to combine your favorite picks into a same-game parlay or track every stat live, all in one easy-to-use app. Right now is the perfect time to join. New customers get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So bet on the players you love the way you want. Head to FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to sign up today. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.